Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to continue the conversation about coronavirus. Later in the show, we'll be joined by an expert on protecting your emotional health during the emergency. I'll give you the latest coronavirus numbers from Florida. We just heard from Rob, updated this hour. But first up, we're going to talk with St. Petersburg area member of Congress, Charlie Crist, and we'll take your calls. So here's the number to call in, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj at wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Not sure if Congressmember Charlie Crist is on the phone yet, but he's a Democrat representing St. Petersburg and other parts of Pinellas County. He's the former governor of Florida. So, Representative Charlie Crist, are you there?
I'm here, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us and coming back on WMNF's Midpoint Monday. Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you about is the CARES Act, which was passed last month, and part of that was the Paycheck Protection Program, which was $350 billion for small businesses, but Congress is looking to expand that, but the Democrats want to add in protections for small businesses and so forth. Where does that stand right now?
I think in a very good place, Sean. And let me first thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the line with you. Obviously, there's a lot going on, but the Congress is working very, very hard to get these needed monies to not only small businesses, but also individuals. This is a difficult time for everybody, especially for Florida, I think, Sean, because as you know, we depend on tourism so much, and so little travel is occurring right now. And so I think these funds from the Congress, from the Treasury, and the Department of Commerce, and the Small Business Administration are critical and vital. And thank God we're able to get it passed week before last. As you know, the total is $2.2 trillion. And we're looking at putting together already a fourth stimulus package that could be passed either this week or next. That will add to the amount, the $350 billion you talk about for small business. And the numbers they're looking at to add to it are around $250 billion more. So, you know, this thing continues to evolve, obviously. As other needs become known, the Congress is in a mindset to react, to help people, to do what's right. Frankly, to do unto others as you would have done unto you, the golden rule, which I love. And I think it's so important that we, you know, focus on just doing what's right. And this is a time, Sean, of very little politics. It's not about right versus left ideologically. It's about right versus wrong. And it is right to help people in a crisis such as this, do everything we can to mitigate the challenges that we're all facing and get us on the other side of it as quickly as possible.
And last week, the Tampa Bay Partnership and other groups found that one in four Tampa Bay workers have been laid off or furloughed from their jobs, as you were describing, the big hit to the economy because of this. But you were critical last week of Florida's response when it comes to unemployment benefits, especially the duration of payments to Floridians and the amount that Floridians get. There seems to have been some improvements to the website handling claims, but your other concerns have not been addressed.
Well, my concern is that, you know, people who need money that have been laid off need to have that money in order to be able to continue to pay bills. So the good news is that, again, Congress has stepped up. But just for some background, the state of Florida has, unfortunately, one of the smallest unemployment compensation packages in the country. It pays about $275 per week, but only for a 12-week period, as you referenced the limited time frame. The cost passed in the last stimulus an additional $600 per week to be paid to individuals so that they have a better opportunity to meet their obligations, to continue to provide, you know, the essentials to their family. And I think that's a wonderful blessing. But you're right, Congresswoman Kathy Castor, my partner here in Tampa Bay, you know, we had a press conference last week expressing our concern and encouraging Governor DeSantis not really to be necessarily critical, but to have some friendly encouragement that his administration expand those numbers so that individuals can get additional money as is needed so that, you know, the challenge that we're going through is a little bit less challenging until we do get to a point where, you know, the virus starts to subside. And, you know, we have the best and the brightest working on this, Sean. And, you know, we as Americans understand how important this is. Sadly, we have the most cases reported in the country, in the world. And so I think that, you know, having these great scientists and physicians not only working on a vaccine, but ways to address this issue as quickly as possible is critical. That is happening as we speak. And so, you know, there's an awful lot of people bringing everything to bear on a nonpartisan basis to just help people get through this thing.
We're speaking with Congressmember Charlie Crist, a Democrat who represents St. Petersburg and other parts of Pinellas County. I know you have to go in just a second or two, but I do want to start to ask some of these questions that have been coming in from listeners. One is asking, what happens to all the stimulus checks that are supposed to be delivered by mail if President Trump closes down the postal system by May or June, as some reports have said is his stated goal? What happens then?
Well, I think that, you know, there's all kinds of things being put out, you know, in the media and otherwise on social media and the internet. And, you know, who knows how much of it is accurate and who knows how much of it is not accurate. And so I think that, you know, obviously the most direct way for individuals to get these payments, it's about $1,200 per person for those making $75,000 a year or less, is to have direct deposit. And, you know, an awful lot of people are, you know, able to pay their taxes, if you will, through direct deposit, and they can get their reimbursement checks that way. And that way it goes right to the bank and there's no need for mail. I would be surprised if our mail system doesn't continue to deliver mail. You know, these are some of the most valuable public servants we have in our country, and continued support certainly from the Congress on that front, I'm sure will continue. And so, you know, what was it? FDR once said, all we have to fear is fear itself. I think that common sense always needs to apply, Sean, and stopping the mail from being delivered, I don't think makes much common sense at all.
And paper checks should be issued starting about May 4th, although this week is when people might start to see direct deposit of checks if they have that avenue. So I want to thank you so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint Monday today, Representative Crist. Thanks so much.
Sean, thank you. Always a pleasure to be with you, and Godspeed.
Thanks for joining us. Congressmember Charlie Crist is a Democrat representing St. Petersburg and other parts of Pinellas County. He's the former governor of Florida. He's hosting a telephone town hall meeting tonight about coronavirus. He'll be joined by a doctor and chief medical officer of Baycare. If you're a Pinellas County resident, you can go to crist.house.gov/live to sign up for that. Also, during that call, Representative Crist mentioned his colleague in Tampa, who is Kathy Castor, Representative Castor. She's having a town hall this afternoon at 4:30, and you can join that by calling 855-436-3668. So these are ways that our members of Congress are getting input from constituents, even though there is social distancing. Well, pretty soon we're going to be joined by a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. That group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line, and we're going to be joined with April Lott very soon. But before that, we'll continue to take your calls, and I'll also read an email that came in during when I had Charlie Crist on. But I do want to say that according to the Florida Department of Health website, which was updated this hour, there are more than 20,600 positive coronavirus cases in the state of Florida. The number of new cases each day seems to have leveled out somewhat over the last week, and that's every day there are about between 800 and 1,300 new cases. Seems to be leveling off again. There are certainly more than this almost, but not everyone is being tested. In Florida, 461 people have died. That's double the number of deaths from last Monday at this time. And nearly 2,700 people are hospitalized. That number continues to grow. So we have Carolyn, who is calling in from Georgia. Hi, Carolyn. What's on your mind?
Hi, Sean. I just wanted to speak about the disproportionate number of brown and black dying from the virus. I wanted to share what appears to be helping me. I haven't been tested, and, you know, no one's told me that I have the coronavirus, but sometimes I can feel things coming on. But whether in the hospital or at home, if you have someone sick, or even if you're well or they're sick, we need to keep their bodies and our bodies, especially our chest, neck, and feet warm. Use a knitted sweater on the chest, scarves on the neck, and, of course, socks on the feet. Wash, you know, the sick person's or even ours, if we're well, wash the entire body. I don't know why everybody's just saying wash your hands. We have to keep our entire bodies clean, including the hair. But, of course, we have to dry it as quick as we can, especially if a person's sick. But we have to keep our entire bodies clean. Wipe the face, neck, and behind the ears with alcohol to keep the areas around the nose, mouth, and eyes clean a few times a day. But I just want to share that because, you know, it's just heartbreaking to hear that so many African Americans and Hispanics and maybe Asians, I'm not sure, are dying at a higher rate than other people. And, you know, I've worked in an office environment. Sean, are you still there?
I am still here.
Oh, good, good. But I've worked in offices where I may have been the minority, but there's a lot of air conditioning blowing, and it always, I have never been comfortable in air conditioners with cold air blowing on me. And I know, you know, I know some African Americans that can take that, but I know I can't. So if I'm in the hospital and you have cold air conditioning blowing on my chest, I'm just from my experience, and I'll be 60 this year, I'm going to get sick because I have to protect my chest, my neck, my feet have to be warm, and my body has to be comfortable. But that's all I wanted to say.
Carolyn, thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story.
And thank you for being there so I can share this with someone. And I hope it helps somebody. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. And I want to remind people that you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. This is Sean Canaan hosting Midpoint Monday. And we have some more people to call in. In just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by someone who is going to talk about protecting your emotional health during the coronavirus epidemic. So if you'd like to call in and talk about that, 813-469-6626. We have Carlos in Tampa on the line right now. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Canaan. Oh, Mr. Canaan. Hey, it's amazing to me that public servants like Charlie Crist or others that you see them all over the media, these guys are making high six figures, nice healthcare system, you name it, nice package. And this guy, he should be ashamed of himself. $275, Sean, cannot even pay one bill, won't even pay a power bill. I mean,
yeah, I think he was pointing that out. I don't mean to interrupt you. I think I empathize with a lot of what you're saying, but just to clarify, he was saying the $275 that the state of Florida is offering per week is not enough. Even with the $600 extra that the federal government is giving, that number, $275, was reduced during the previous administration, which was Governor Rick Scott, who is now a U.S. senator. I think that I'm not trying to defend him necessarily, but I think that former Governor Charlie Crist and current member of Congress Charlie Crist would say he says that you're right. It's $275 is not enough.
Hey, Sean, can I finish my thoughts, please? That's
yes.
Why you heard the other caller at Rob Shell, his name is Brian, wants to get back to work. I don't blame these people, man. I mean, even with the $1,200 check, whatever, I mean, these people, they are going to be living in the street very soon. People, they don't have nothing to eat. I mean, there is no safety net, social safety net in this country. There is zero. Your people are willing to die, and exactly what the caller said, Brian, is willing to die. I don't care if I get the corona disease, then leave his family and lose all his belongings and end up living in the streets. So let's make it clear. People, they have to choose between the corona and to eat. Okay? Have a nice day. Bye.
Oh, Carlos, before you go, I want to say that, you know, I think that what you're saying, it kind of puts a lie to that libertarian trope that where people would rather collect unemployment than actually get to work. I think that that's kind of a ridiculous trope, and you said it great yourself about that, that doesn't make any sense at all. All right, thank you for the call, Carlos. I want to, we'll go to another caller, and we'll find out if our guest is on the line. But Matt in Sebring, you're on the phone. What would you like to say, Matt?
Yeah, hi, Sean. I wanted to just say I've been listening to your program and also Rob Lori's for the last hour or two, and I want to thank you guys. You're performing a great public service because in the midst of this pandemic with everybody locked up, it's great to have some news and information and helpful information like what you just had with Charlie Crist. And speaking of Charlie Crist, I wanted to say something in defense of him against what the last caller said. Charlie Crist was an excellent governor. Charlie Crist, when he was governor from 2006 to 2010, he cared about the people of Florida. He improved the insurance system. He made some other improvements in workers' compensation and did some things. And he is one of the people, along with Representative Castor in Tampa, are trying to push Governor DeSantis to expand this unemployment thing. Because I can tell you, I collected unemployment in 1993, and one of the previous callers said that it always takes 3 weeks. That's true. There's no question about that. It took 3 weeks back then. It took 3 weeks now. But the 275 is what I got back in 1993-94. So you just contrast the cost of living now, 1993, with what it is today, and you can see what the last guy said was true, which is, if you give people nothing but this $275 a week, you're going to have, within a month or two, you're going to have thousands of homeless people, thousands of people living in their cars, thousands of people will be starving. You're going to have a situation akin to the Great Depression in the 30s, and that was almost 100 years ago, so most people are not familiar with it, but just look at some old pictures online, and you'll see bread lines, you'll see people living in their trucks, at the side of the road, people dying and collapsing. And a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, I'm a citizen, I was born in this country, and I'm very proud to be an American, but I can tell you something. There is a certain arrogance that you find among Americans, and they have an idea, well, that could happen in Europe, or that could happen in Asia or South America, but it can't happen here. Well, I'm here to tell you, because I know a lot about history, it can happen here, and it will happen unless our leaders, particularly like the governor of Florida, DeSantis, I hope he's going to step up and do the right thing with this unemployment, because I know for a fact, I used to work in the government down in South Florida, and I know for a fact from people who used to go up to Tallahassee that the previous governor, Rick Scott, completely destroyed the unemployment system. He purposely changed the system to make it harder for people to file unemployment claims. He put in all these computer roadblocks, basically so that people would get so frustrated with the internet problems, they would just give up. And that's what you've been hearing the last two or three weeks. Thousands and thousands of Floridians are losing their jobs right and left. These people are trying to go to the unemployment website. God, another one eliminated all the claims workers. He eliminated all the paper claims, put everything on that to save money, and also so he could get reelected, so he could get support from the business lobby, because he cut the unemployment payments that the businesses had to make because they didn't want an increase when it was proposed in the legislature. And Scott sided with the business lobby. As a result, he got reelected. But basically, he completely gutted the state's unemployment system. And now, like that one gentleman earlier said, the chickens are coming home to roost. Meanwhile, Rick Scott is sitting in the United States Senate. Like your last guest said, he's one of those people that's collecting a $200,000 or $300,000.
Matt, I'm going to let you go. Your phone is breaking up a bit right now. I apologize, but I think you got your point across. Thanks so much for calling in from Sebring. Thank you for that call. I want to remind people that you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. This is Midpoint Monday on 88.5. It's 12:25 in the afternoon, and Bev writes in and says that she got her stimulus check into her account this morning. So that's good news for people, and maybe check your accounts this evening when you get home, and or if you might be home right now, and check and to see if yours got credited, and it might get in there this week. Let's take a quick phone call before we go to our guest, Mary in West Chase. Are you still there, Mary?
I am here.
Hi.
Hey, you asked for folks to talk about mental health. I work in the mental health field, and as recently as last night, I kind of saw some of the negative going around concerning the vision we're feeling with the isolation. And I just like to reference a psychological study they did with pigeons. They put pigeons in a cage. They electrified the floor, and one pigeon attacked the other pigeon. This is an example of misattribution, kind of like the pigeon blamed the other pigeon for the electrified floor, but it was really the humans, right? So I feel like we are living in a time right now where the floor is electric, and we need to be careful who we pet that. I think that people are misattributing the pain that they feel right now to the people closest to them. And I just would like people to keep that in mind. And as far as the solution side of things, if anybody's feeling a high level of stress and just can't stop the repetitive thoughts, the fearful things going on right now, there's a technique called progressive relaxation that really helps people release emotion and get on a new thought process. You just tense your body in progressive stages. You breathe in while you tense. You breathe out while you release. You start with the feet, go up to your knees, up to your hips, up to your chest, all the way up to the top of your head. You breathe in, you tense. You breathe out, you release. You go higher up your body. Each time really helps. And that's really just all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, Mary, thanks so much for calling that in. I appreciate hearing from someone in the mental health field. And we're going to go to our guest right now. April Lott is a licensed clinical social worker. She's president and CEO of Directions for Living. That group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. We'll give out the number for that line during this call. But I just wanted to welcome you to WMNF's Midpoint. April, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate that you're calling, and maybe I don't know if you've heard any of our callers so far, but some people are talking about the stresses that they've been going through, but we'll talk about that the rest of the show, and people can call in. I'm going to give out our number again. The number is 813-239-9663 if people want to call in and talk about this. But I'll ask you about some of the common reasons that people are calling your emotional support line. And a lot of us are feeling isolated right now. We're at home a lot of the time, either all by ourselves or with a partner or a small family unit. Are people feeling isolated and reaching out to you, and what are they saying?
Yes, people are. You know, I would say that isolation is probably the number one contributing factor to much of what people are calling about. So in addition to isolation, people are calling in about feeling very anxious and concerned about, you know, just the state of our community and our country. They're expressing concerns about, you know, contracting COVID, someone they know having it, those kinds of things. But I think some of the things that people probably aren't aware that people are calling about is, you know, during periods of isolation, people who are in recovery or concerned about their sobriety, they're concerned about for people who have histories of overeating or binge eating or an eating disorder, they're concerned about a relapse in, you know, the stability that they've achieved either with, you know, drinking, eating, you know, other forms of addictive type behaviors that seem to be triggered while they're in isolation.
Our guest is April Lott, and we're talking to her. She's president and CEO of Directions for Living. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and the group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. Can we give out that number so that people can call in if they need to talk?
Absolutely. It's 727-524-4464, and then the extension is 1001.
And that line is... there's a person answering that line every day, but it's from 8 in the morning until 8 in the evening. Is that right?
That is correct. Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. And actually what the caller would do is leave a message, and then they would have a counselor call them back We are saying within 2 hours, but our average is about 10 minutes. So we're making sure that those calls get returned within about 10 minutes of the person calling in.
All right. And so we want to point out that this isn't for emergencies. This is for dealing with emotional support, kind of, you know, simmering level, not boiling over kind of level emergencies, right? There are other ways to reach out if you have an actual emergency, like a life-threatening emergency.
Absolutely. This is, you know, really for those individuals who, as you were, as we've been talking about, who are feeling isolated, who are feeling alone, and need someone to talk to, someone to, you know, a calm, stable, compassionate, caring voice on the other end that can, you know, just really validate the feelings and the thoughts that people are having. You know, one of the other main reasons people are calling, some of the stuff that they're expressing really is grief. Grief around job loss, grief around not being able to go to the hospital to see a loved one who might be in the hospital for something other than COVID and they're not allowed in. Grief. You know, we had a teenager who called about grieving, you know, the loss of her senior year prom and the fact that she doesn't know that she's going to be able to walk for graduation with her peers. So grief is coming in all sizes and shapes and colors. And, you know, I think what's really important is that the people of our community have someone that they can reach out to. It's confidential. You don't have to be a client at Directions for Living. You don't have to become a client at Directions for Living. It really is an emotional support line for really just for anybody and everybody who might need just to talk to somebody, hear someone's voice, come up with ideas and strategies to, you know, like the caller that I just heard about deep relaxation, you know, starting at the top of your head, going all the way down to your toes. All of those things can be very helpful to people in a time of crisis.
And so, April, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give out the number so that people can call in and talk to you, and maybe they can share some of what they're expressing, and that you can, you know, give us your thoughts about that. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. But let me go to Rob in Thanota Sassa right now. Hi, Rob. Are you on the air? I mean, are you there?
There, I'm here.
Okay, yes.
Sean, thank you for what you're doing, you and Rob and everybody down there. What I wanted to say is, you know, it's really important, a couple of things, really important for people in this, you know, technological age to, you know, reach out and talk to someone and not just rely on texting. You know, I've noticed the last several years, you know, people are sort of at a phobia about phone calls, you know. People want to communicate via texting and email and so on, but it helps a lot. I have a couple of friends. I have one friend in particular. We talk twice a day, you know, for quite a while, and that helps tremendously, you know. Also, I have a dog, and if people are out there, if you don't have a dog or an animal, if you could foster an animal, and because that helps, I mean, tremendously. I would feel really alone and isolated, but with my dog, I talk to him, and, you know, we go out and run around. I'm lucky enough to be able where I can get outside and ride my bike up and down the dirt road here next to where I live, and that helps a lot too, to sort of make it where you're not just there staring into space all day.
All right, thanks for those thoughts. And April, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with your caller more. I mean, he is absolutely right on target with that. You know, one of the things that we are encouraging people to do is, you know, not only are they calling us and then we set it up so that we can call them daily if needed or every other day if that's what they prefer, but we are encouraging our callers to think of, you know, one or two or three people that they can call and check on a daily basis or every couple of days. You know, having a feeling of connection and having a feeling of purpose during a time of crisis is really, can be very therapeutic. And I think your caller is absolutely correct. Voice, and even if they have, and one of the things that we're doing a lot of these days is Zoom conferences and doing therapy and those kinds of things by Zoom. I have to tell you, when we first switched to doing all of our services, many of our services by Zoom, and I did my first Zoom call, it was a game changer. When I could see the people that I was talking to, it really took it up even another notch. So for those people who have that kind of technology, checking in with someone, you know, that a colleague, a friend, a family member, someone that they, you know, have a relationship with via Zoom or Skype can really be a game changer.
You know, one more thing I might add, I'm sorry, you know, a lot of times men,
No, go ahead.
I was going to say men in particular have a hard time saying I'm lonely or, you know, I need someone to talk to. They tend to be more stoic about it, I think. So don't wait. You know, reach out. I think it's very important to reach out to someone, even if they say they're fine. How you know? They say, I'm doing great. A lot of times people say that, and they're not doing great.
Correct. I agree. I couldn't agree more. And in fact, you know, so one of the things, again, that we're encouraging people to do is to think of maybe two or three people that they can call so that they can support someone else. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to say that you're lonely, like you said, and stigma and all those things are still alive and well. And if we can kind of, you know, do a paradigm shift and allow people to see it as they're also helping someone else by making that telephone call, you know, kind of it's that age-old thing like our teachers used to say, there are no stupid questions. And if you're thinking of a question, someone else might be thinking that same question but too afraid to ask. It's the same thing. If you're thinking that you need to talk to somebody and have, you know, an emotional connection with somebody else, other people are thinking the same thing, especially right now during this time.
Rob, thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. I want to remind people that we're listening to April Lott. She's a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. That group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. I'm going to give out a couple of numbers right now. The first number is if you'd like to call into this show and be on the air and ask April a question, that number is area code 813-239-9663. You can also email DJ at WMNF.org. But I also want to give out April's number for the emotional support call line, and you'll leave a voicemail, and they'll call you back within a couple of hours. Here's that number. It's 727-524-4464, and then extension 1001. So it's 727-524-4464, extension 1001. All right, so we have, I believe we still have Valerie in St. Petersburg on the line. Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Valerie. I've been waiting a long time, but my husband and I are longtime supporters and listeners. But I wanted to say, first off, that I work for the government, Pinellas County, and I'm still working. We are... and getting paid full pay up through the 25th. We work every other day so that we can help you with the elections. Anyway, this next question, I have to go outside because I could hear you. I could hear myself. About for April, is it? We're raising our grandchildren, three grandchildren. They're 20, 17, and 4. And I'm in my 60s. We're both in our mid-60s, my husband and I, and have health issues. And they think we're crazy for being being paranoid and, you know, overreacting because, you know, we don't want to go to the store. We don't want to do this. I do go to work, but my main question is for Ashton. He won't go to bed on bedtime. He's always been this whole vacation. We told him he's on vacation. His older sister calls it a coronacation. That's a teenager for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you have? And I know Directions for Living because we're adopting our grandson through you guys. Or you have been.
Yeah.
In our, you know, we've seen a lot of your people in and out of our home. Anyway, not all good. But is there any tips you could give us on how to get him to go, you know, to? He's nervous. And he went and got his nebulizer mask one day.
Yeah, and this is the four-year-old that's having trouble.
Yeah, the four-year-old. The teenagers think that we're just nuts, of course, but all teenagers think adults are nuts, right?
Yeah, you're right. All teenagers think that. And I think it's difficult for our teenagers, for all of our kids, quite frankly, to get their arms around a global pandemic, right? I mean, the fact is that this is the first in all of our lifetime that such a thing has happened, right? So it makes sense that even, teenagers and young people are, you know, kind of poo-pooing it, minimizing it, because it really does almost seem unreal, right? Especially when you can look
outside. And you know what else? They make them go to work. One works, they both work, I guess I better not say where they work, but it's drive-through. And there, but the oldest one, she's an assistant manager, goes to college. And she's like, Grandma, really, is a cheeseburger and fries essential?
Right.
What do I tell her? I don't think so. I tell her that people don't know how to cook nowadays, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's it's a hard question, and so it's essential, maybe not necessarily fast food, but, you know, it is food, and lots of people, unfortunately, live on you know, very fixed incomes and do rely on fast food. But I want to get back to your first question, which is really about your four-year-old grandson, and I do think that, that, you know, we are hearing from lots of parents whose littles are having a hard time going to sleep, wanting to almost staying up all night long. I heard from one who's little, who's like 8 or 9, who's staying up until they can't stay up anymore, 5 a.m., and then sleeping all day.
Oh, good. I'm not alone, huh?
No, you are absolutely not alone. And I think it's these littles trying to find something that they can control, right, which is, you
but
know.
But we try to do the, you know, the breakfast, lunch, everything, try to do it. He screamed one day, and also he doesn't understand because I work every other day.
Yeah.
You know, and his sisters are getting weird shifts, and people, you know, my husband's disabled. He doesn't go out at all unless it's doctor's appointments.
Right.
Or it's virtual appointments. I think it's too much for them. It's too much for all of us, but I don't know what to do. What's your suggestion?
My suggestion really is to, like you said, one of your grandchildren kind of came up with Corona Station or vacation, however you said it. You know,
Corona Station.
Yeah, you know, relaxing some of the household rules, doing anything that you might be able to do to help him relax before bed. You know, like if there's a particular television program or soothing, you know, music that might be soothing.
He loves his
story.
Bubble bath.
Good, yeah. He loves it,
but when it comes right, and he's exhausted, but when it comes right down to get out of the tub, get your pajamas on, and go to bed with your story we read.
Yeah.
That part, we've been giving him melatonin, the baby doctor, whatever he is.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, he sleeps because he's got to sleep. At school, he takes a nap, but I took him out of the daycare long before other people did.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like you are literally doing everything right, and, you know, I just congratulate you for doing that, and I'm sorry that it's hard. You are not alone. We are hearing from others almost the exact, literally exact same story. And, you know, if he ends up staying up too late, this coronavirus is going to pass. He will reestablish a pattern in the future. He will make up the time, if you will. In other words, I would continue doing everything that you're doing, but if it doesn't work and he stays up too late and sleeps too long during the day, you know, that you give yourself, you know, a break and just tell yourself that you're doing everything that you can. You're doing the best job you can.
Thanks so much for calling in, Valerie. Really appreciate your call.
Thank you. And thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Valerie. Our guest is April Law. She's a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. The group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. And I'm going to give out that number in just a second. But first, I want to give out the number for you to call in to WMNF's Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663 if you want to share your story or if you want to ask a question for April. And I have a question for April, and that is, earlier you were talking about one of the ways that people are connecting during this time is either through FaceTime or Zoom, one of those video conferencing, but I bet you're hearing from people who don't have access to technology. Maybe they're not connected to the internet, or maybe they don't feel comfortable with technology. How does someone like that make that connection that the rest of us might take for granted?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. I appreciate you asking it. We actually are working with a couple foundations in our community to fund at Directions for Living, we had, I don't know, maybe 75 to 100 phones that were not in use and that could be loaded with Zoom technology. And we are actually, as people call in and people notify us that they don't have the ability to do Zoom appointments, Zoom telehealth, or connect with others via Zoom, we are getting those phones to those individuals. And so we will run out of phones eventually, but we are working with some funders in our local community to purchase track phones that you know, we can purchase a plan for just, you know, 30, 60, 90 days that will allow people to have that kind of technology. And but we are finding more people who don't have the technology. They're completely comfortable with technology. They don't have the technology. So we are getting phones to those people and giving them the phones for free and allowing them to be able to take advantage of Zoom or FaceTime or Skype or one of those.
If you'd like to join in the conversation, the number to call in is 813-239-9663. And my guest is April Law. She's a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. And the number, their emotional support line number, which I didn't give out a minute ago and I said I would, it's 727-524-4464, extension 1001. And I'll give that number out at the end of the show as well. So I if you didn't get it written down just then, no problem. Let me ask you about people calling in because they're afraid of getting the illness, afraid of getting COVID-19. I know a lot of us have a lot of anxiety about a lot of things, financial, whatever, but just simply the fact that what if I catch this, that has to be something that people are calling in about.
Yes, they are. You know, wondering if they catch it, you know, giving it to someone that they love, if they have it, don't know they have it, if others, you know, have it and don't know they have it, or spreading it to their family members. And, you know, the response that we are giving to that, quite frankly, is that the vast majority of people who contract coronavirus 19 are recovering fully. And so we don't want to minimize or downplay that fear. That fear is a real fear. However, we do want to balance it with the facts, which are that, you know, 89 to 90% of people who get coronavirus fully recover. It's an awful flu, and they will feel awful for, you know, a period of 7 to 10 days, but people are recovering. It's the people who have the underlying health conditions like asthma or COPD that we're particularly concerned about, because, as you know, the coronavirus, everybody is at risk of contracting coronavirus, but it's the people who have underlying medical conditions that we really are concerned about. Those are the ones that typically end up with, you know, a severe breathing problem. But again, what we are trying to focus our caller's attention on is that recovery is highly probable. A full recovery is highly probable. It will be a bad case of the flu. But we think it's important that people know that for the number of people who are getting sick, the significant number of people who are also coming through that just fine.
And another thing that you mentioned earlier, but maybe we can go into a little bit more detail about this, is people responding to having more time on their hands or having more isolation by either eating too much or drinking too much alcohol.
Yeah. And that is a real concern for people who are home alone and or, as you indicated, you know, maybe with a small family, but especially people who have been in sobriety and or who have, you know, have an eating disorder under control. And so, you know, we're trying to help focus those individuals back to their positive coping skills, all the things that work for them to achieve the stability and sobriety that they achieved in the first place, trying to reduce those triggers by having them focus on, you know, for example, all the things that have worked for them before, especially those who are connected to a sponsor or who previously had a sponsor, having them reconnect with AA or NA or an Eating Disorder Anonymous program. But lots of those programs have converted to telehealth and Zoom-type technology, again, telephone calls. So we're focusing people on, you know, you've worked hard before, and you can work hard again, and we're going to do this together. And, again, if we have to talk to people on the phone four times a day, every single day, we will do that to help them feel connected and grounded.
Our guest is April Lott, a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. That group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. It's 12:50 in the afternoon, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday, and I believe we have Carolyn on the line. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi again, Sean, and hi, April.
Hi.
I just want to say I think it's really important for us to stay busy and feel useful. Now, we all know a woman's work is never done. I still haven't run out of things to do around the house. I'm about to clean the carpet now.
But good for you.
But when our food and housing is so controlled, it makes us vulnerable. I feel like I don't know when this is going to end or if it's ever going to end. I hope it does. But we need to take control of our food at least. Plant a garden if you can. We might have to go back to fishing and hunting to survive. And this may help our mental health because it gives us something to do.
Yeah, I agree.
All right,
can I respond?
Thank you, Carolyn. What would you like to say, okay. April?
I was going to say to Carolyn that, you know, she's absolutely correct. You know, staying busy, if you have, you know, projects at home that you've been putting off, if there's, you know, ways that you can prioritize your projects and kind of take one off the list at a time. Obviously, all of those things really can be very helpful as a distraction to what's happening around us. I do want to say to Carolyn that, you know, the question about when will this end, it absolutely will end. You know, when, we don't know, but certainly we know that it will come to an end. And I also want to say about the food, I think she's correct. A lot of people are concerned about their access to food. And I've been reminded, and I want to remind others, that we do not have a food shortage in our country. We do not have a food shortage. We do have a supply. Getting supplies to grocery stores has been somewhat of a challenge. But people are working really hard to make sure that the stores get restocked. But we do not have a food shortage in the United States. So we will have access to food.
Well, I'm not sure if you can still hear me, April, but you have to have money to buy food.
Yes, you are correct. And I hope I didn't sound insensitive. You are absolutely correct. And I know that the U.S. government is doing everything they can to relax some of the rules around the supplemental nutrition program. I think they refer to it SNAP, kind of the old food stamp. And that they're trying to make some... They're trying to make some adjustments to the rules to allow people to use their SNAP food card to even be able to purchase drive-through and other things that previously have been prohibited. But you are absolutely correct. And I know food banks right now are working really, really hard to make food available to people who have lost their jobs, who don't have the money, as you say, And on our website, and I'm assuming on a variety of websites, but certainly I want to point out that on Directions for Living website, we have a list of food banks and places where children and families and adults can get food.
But then we still are so dependent on our government for food when we can really help ourselves. I was at... Even though, you know, I'm not supposed to be going out at home distance, but I did go get some watermelon. Well, they already have the plant started for you.
Yeah.
And various vegetables, squash and tomatoes. Well, I'm lucky enough that my son, because I live in an apartment, I just have a patio that I love flowers, that has flowers on it. But my son had enough space for me to plant a garden. Mm-hmm. I just hope people don't sit back and wait for the government to feed you. God, of course, has supplied us with enough food on this planet to feed everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he makes it easy for us to plant a seed or plant a plant in the ground and try to grow something ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to, you know, take control of us eating, you know, back. And, of course, we need God's help, which he's already supplied. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for addressing.
Carolyn, I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. Okay. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
And I just want to remind people that our guest is April Lott, a licensed clinical social worker and president and CEO of Directions for Living. And we have Raj calling in from Tampa. Hi, Raj. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hey. This is kind of a medical leaning question or statement. I'm from India originally, and I probably have been reading the media news. Why is India, Mexico, Brazil, and a lot of other countries escaping from this COVID crisis? And one of the things observed, even by U.S. scientists, is the BCG vaccination. You know, India should have been on fire by now, and millions of people should have died because of its very scant medical care. You know, but that is not the case. The total death in India so far is like 380, some ridiculous number, as against what happened in Western Europe and North America. I'm just wondering why the medical faculty or the politicians in this country are not looking into this.
Thank you for the question, Raj. April, is that something that you feel you have, you know, the expertise to comment on?
Unfortunately, no. I don't. I just wouldn't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the situation in India either.
You know, anybody listening to this program?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put that out to our listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you, Raj.
I think it's a fair question,
Good, Raj. Thank you so much. I want to read a question from Jeff, who is writing in, and it's two or three sentences long. So he says, it's a massive crisis in the country, and the government is saying there's a plan to deal with it, but it's not going to be dealt with correctly, is Jeff's opinion, and the problems won't all be solved. He thinks that it's possible that things may never be the same again, and Americans may have to make new adjustments in their lives, which might be uncomfortable, and of course, I'm thinking that maybe one day this will be over and everything will go back to normal. And Jeff is asking, what's the better mindset to have between, I guess, those two dichotomies of thinking it's there's never going to be the same again or things will go back to normal?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a fair question, too. And, you know, my perspective on that is that, you know, things are probably not ever going to be exactly the same as they were. I think that my hope is that we are going to learn a lot from this. And, you know, even within my own organization, I can tell you that we are doing far more telehealth than we ever have. And we are finding so many efficiencies in the work that we do because we've been forced to make adjustments. And so I agree with him. I think that we're probably going to land somewhere in the middle, and some things that probably will change that we never thought about changing, like, you know, if we shake hands as a greeting. I've heard a lot about, you know, that our medical professionals are saying that's one practice that we probably should not bring back is shaking hands. So I think he's wise to kind of be thoughtful about, you know, what is going to return to normal, quote unquote, versus what is our new normal going to be. And, you know, I think we're going to have a new normal. But I think whatever traditions, you know, that we have historically held on to that have been comforting and or stabilizing, that we will find a way to continue our traditions and our rituals and the things that make us, you know, American. And but I think it's a good question to be asked.
Well, April, I want to thank you so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and for advancing the topic of mental wellness and mental health, especially in a time of crisis.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on. April Lott is a licensed clinical social worker. She's president and CEO of Directions for Living. That group is partnering with Pinellas County with an emotional support line. Here's the number, and you can call it any day from 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening and leave a message. It's 727 524-4464, extension 1001. Well, I want to thank everyone who called in and emailed in and texted in today. And if you missed any of the show, you can listen to it on our website, WMNF.org/news. I want to thank Rob Lorai and DT and Miss Julie. I'm Sean Canaan. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.